It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All right, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. Thank you so much for joining me. A couple minutes late, I ran into some traffic over in Juniata and just created a little bit of a log jam. So I apologize for that. Hopefully your day is going well. Be careful driving home out there. I ran into a couple of different accidents with the rain coming down. Our phone lines are open, as always, 946-0435. I'm going to go a little bit of a different direction today. If anybody is interested in discussing something away from football today, 946-0435. Obviously, we've got a ton of football discussions that we have each and every day, and I try to make sure that we touch on anything and everything that's going on with football during this important time of year. But I want to talk some basketball today. I want to talk some NBA basketball today, right? And when I ventured out into the NBA a handful of times over like the last, say, 6 or 8 months, you guys have come through. You've come through. You wanted to call in. You wanted to talk about this kind of stuff. So I'm curious to see how it goes today with regards to three-point shooting in the NBA, because it has gotten absolutely absurd. Story on ESPN today, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver is going to look into, kind of investigate what is going on within the game of basketball at the NBA level with regards to all the three-pointers. The Boston Celtics, are you ready for this? The Boston Celtics average shooting 51 three-pointers per game. That's your NBA champion right there from last year. 51 three-point shots per game. There was a game last week. There were 75 missed three-pointers. I don't recall who the teams were. But the two teams combined to miss 75 three-point shots. So again, I know it's a little bit of a different venture from our typical football discussion, but I know we have some NBA and some basketball fans in this area, and I'm just going to ask you, can you watch the NBA right now? I was told it's Bulls Hornets. Thank you, appreciate it. Bulls Hornets missed 75 three-pointers in a game last week. Now, let me explain where I'm coming from. I think that the most entertaining NBA team I've ever seen was the Golden State Warriors from 6-7 years ago. If you ask me who the most instrumental basketball player of the last generation or so has been, a lot of young people will say Kobe. Kobe is tremendously revered, died early, obviously. A lot of young basketball players truly revere Kobe. But they don't play like Kobe. The most instrumental basketball player since Michael Jordan is Steph Curry. I coach kids. My kid's in sixth grade. I've coached him all the way up. I coach a lot of kids going to practices. You know what they do when they shoot a three? Curry! They jack up a 25-footer. Curry! Kids relate to Steph Curry. Kids relate to shooting the three. To me, Steph Curry, the greatest shooter of all time, revolutionized the game of basketball by becoming such an incredibly prolific three-point shooter. Did he make the game better? That's the question. The Golden State Warriors 6-7 years ago, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Splash Brothers, tremendously fun to watch. They had their dynasty, won a few titles, 72-10 record 1 year. So, obviously, what happens in a copycat league, all leagues are copycat. Rest of the league, they start to see, hey, well, here's what's working, blah, blah, blah. You value the three-point shot over the two-point shot, blah, blah, blah. Now you fast forward to 2024, and we got a team taking 51 damn three-pointers a game. Not one game. Every game. And I'm reminded about a conversation I had with Joe Crispin a number of years ago. Penn State basketball fans remember Joe Crispin, shooting legend. He's an assistant coach for the team now, but led the team to the Sweet 16 back in 01. The joke was that Joe Crispin never saw a shot he didn't like. Those shooters like that, you know, from Joe Crispin's table, be like Reggie Miller, they call it in the gym range. You step in the gym, you're automatically within your range. Well, Joe Crispin, I used to do a show for Penn State's Coaches versus Cancer golf event every year when I was at the previous institution, and we would have on Joe Crispin all the time. Joe would come back, John Crispin, his brother, would come back, Tyler Smith would come back. I loved those shows. They were a lot of fun, so it would be me, Joe, John, Tyler Smith, Mark Brennan. We would shoot the bull about basketball for a good 30 to 40 minutes, just telling all kinds of stories and great stuff. And Joe Crispin told me, this has to be going on 10 years ago, he was before his time. Joe got to play a little bit in the NBA, but Joe was a little bit before his time because he came into the NBA a decade before Steph Curry, okay? And so teams weren't shooting a lot of three-pointers back then. Joe played in the NBA from 01 and 02. So one season, 2001, 2002. And back then, teams only took, if memory serves, maybe 12 to 15 threes a game. Okay, maybe probably not even that. It certainly wasn't anywhere near 20. And Joe told me on the radio 10 years ago, if he would have come into the league later on, he could have had a more, you know, maybe productive career. Now, Joe was a great three-point shooter. One game over in Italy, he went 10 for 10 from three. Think about that. He went 10 for 10 from three in a professional game overseas 15 years ago. So this guy could shoot. But he came into the league at the wrong time. Now, you come into the NBA, and it's just one three-pointer after another. Boom, 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 boom. Everybody's shooting threes nonstop. So I've said for a number of years that Steph Curry is the most instrumental basketball player since Michael Jordan. And I've always said that that was a good thing because Steph, such a tremendous shooter, kids want to be like him and so on and so forth. But now you see the way that the game at the NBA level has really been bastardized to where a two-point shot is so completely frowned upon. Nobody wants to take two-pointers. The worst shot in all of sports, or in all basketball, is the mid-range jumper, like the 18-foot jumper. And I have to teach kids this. You know, don't take an 18-foot jumper. That's literally the worst shot you can take. Okay, because it's only worth two. If you step back 3 feet, it's worth three. If you step in 3 or 4 feet, you have a 15, 20% higher chance of making the shot. Anyway, the point I'm trying to get at is the question I have for you, can you watch the NBA? Can you watch the way basketball is played now? 946-0435. I know we've got some of our NBA fans out there. Caller number two, Jerry and Bellwood, don't let me down. I want to hear from some of you guys if you can watch this stuff, because short of changing rules, I don't see any way that this is going to stop. I mean, we're in 2024 and the Celtics are taking 51 threes a game. In 10 years, I could see that being 70. Like, you take 10 shots per game from two, 70 from three. No, nothing in between. I was reading a story a little bit ago. The Memphis Grizzlies, apparently, and I wouldn't have known this. I don't follow them. They revamped their offense this year. Quoting the story I'm reading here, de-emphasizing pick and roll play in favor of off-ball screens, isolation attacks, and cuts. The Cleveland Cavaliers have the league's best record because they've unleashed their 6'11" big man as a playmaker and confused opponents with timely cuts. So what you do is you shoot the three, or you have a big guy out top like Nikola Jokic making passes to guys cutting back door for dunks and layups. And that's it. That's basketball. That's all there is. That's all there is. You either shoot threes or you do the old Princeton backdoor cuts, and that's the sport. And I can't watch it, man. I just can't. And this is, again, coming from somebody who says that the most entertaining team I've seen in the NBA were the Bulls, or I'm sorry, were the Warriors 6-7 years ago, kind of when this first started. And they were some of the only ones doing it. Then the Houston Rockets started doing it a whole bunch. But, when it was new and novel, it was amazing to watch. Now, you turn on an NBA game, man, and it is just, it's not just shots from the three-point line. It's a dozen shots per game from 5, 6, 7 feet, 10 feet beyond the three-point line. And while on one hand I can completely marvel at the shooting ability of these guys, because it is absolutely incredible. I'm not diminishing their skill to be able to make 26, 27-foot three-pointers, get the shot off quickly, to make them at a 40-plus percent clip is amazing. It's absolutely amazing, and it's killing the sport. I do believe that if they continue to go down this path and you have teams shooting 65, 70 threes, that it's just nuts. So Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, one possibility is you move the three-point line back. Okay, let's move the three. What is the NBA three-point line now? I want to say it's like 24. Point line distance, it's 23-9 at the center. And the corner three is considered the prize jewel of the NBA. It's only 22 feet. So the corner threes are made at a significantly higher percentage than threes that are on the rest of the court, because the corner three, look, a lot of guys just shoot better from the corner, period. They shoot better from the baseline, shoot better from the corner. And then if your three-pointer is only 22 feet compared to 23-9, you got to shoot those. You got to shoot them. But what do you do? Do you back the three-point line up to 25 feet? Would that alleviate it? You know, I think it could for a short period. But what Adam Silver says is all that's going to do is clog the lane more. And that's not an aesthetic that the NBA wants. If you have any thoughts on this, I'd love to hear. Anybody, if this has turned you off from the NBA. Really, we're talking about a 2 to 3 year thing here now. Because 5, 6, 7 years ago, it was okay. This has really started to happen now, these outrageous three-point numbers. I think on opening night this year, or second night of the season, some team set the NBA record making 29 threes, for God's sake. Like, opening night of the year. Welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Bob from Altoona.
What's up, Bob? How you doing, buddy?
Good. I wanted to weigh in on this, Corey. One thing, I just, first of all, I'm 68 years old, but when we used to have open shooting in gym class, nobody shot. That was even way before. That was even way before 3 points. Mm-hmm. Everybody shot from way outside. You know, it was fun. You say your kids like that now too, but I think it probably what they should probably do is move the line back. But my question, the reason I was calling. What your kids that you coach, do they have a three-pointer?
They do. They started it in, if memory serves, fourth grade.
Is it a little bit closer than what the normal?
It's the college. It's the college three-point line. It's the high school. NCAA men's is now 20 feet 9 inches. I'm pretty sure that's still what the high school three-point line is. There are some leagues, like the CBRC, Central Blair Rec, they don't count threes, okay?
Oh.
So when I was coaching kids in the three in CBRC, NCAA is 20 feet 9, high school is still 19.9, okay? But when I was coaching kids in CBRC, I told them, don't shoot threes. That's the dumbest shot. Why would you take a 20-foot shot that they're only going to count as a two?
Right.
Leagues like the Summit, Garver, Tyrone Armory, they do count three. So kids are shooting them a bunch.
Do your kids use the regular basketball?
Yep. Regular boy size. Once they get to, I think fifth grade was when they jumped it up to the regular size basketball, 28.5, 29.5, or whatever it is.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Corey.
All right, very good, Bob. Appreciate it, man. 946-0435. Again, anybody want to weigh in on this? But it's a fascinating topic to me. So I was watching an NBA game a couple days ago, and I've been a big NBA fan for probably the last 15 years. There was a period in the 2000s where I just couldn't watch the game. It was just awful. Nobody could shoot. It was terrible. Then again, I give Steph Curry a lot of credit for changing the game, and it was entertaining. I was watching a game the other day. It was the Miami Heat and somebody, I can't remember. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Clarkster, what's going on, man? How you doing?
You know skee ball?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what they should turn it into.
Just skee ball. When you're playing skee ball, do you try for the 10,000 thing, or do you just try for like the fourth or fifth spot?
You can just have numbers on it. This is 5 points. This is 4 points. This is the 3-point range.
Yeah.
This is the two. You can have a court that'll be made all over. Look at the jobs we'll create by having to redo the courts.
Yeah, sure.
I think it's also a way of making an easier buck because you don't play any defense. You know.
Yeah, and that's the thing. There is to say they don't play any defense. It's fun to joke about that. They do play defense, but the schemes that they use to get these guys open, they're pretty elaborate. I mean, they run the ball screens and things like that they run for years and years and years and years. It was the pick and roll. But I just read, like, the Grizzlies are getting rid of the pick and roll, but all in favor of, like, these ball screens to get guys off the – so there is defense being played, but these dudes are 6'8", 6'9", 6'10". You know, there's a bunch of guys like this now, these big, big, tall guys that can get off threes no matter who's guarding.
Back in the day, it was Mel Counts. Mel Counts was a 7-footer out of Oregon State, and he played – or out of – was it Oregon State? I think. I forget. Anyway, he was a big dude, but he played outside all the time. He would shoot from the corners and everything.
That's why, to me, you know, Nikola Jokic is one of the best basketball players of all time. He's like 6'11". He's a fantastic 3-point shooter. He's a tremendous passer. I mean, Nikola Jokic.
Since you made the 3-point shot up, why would you risk anything? Why would you risk, you know, battling? The days of the 50s and 60s, the Warriors and the big men with Chamberlain, Russell, and it was a different game. Now it's morphed into something that could be done in a rec league in one way, shape, or form.
Can you watch it?
No, I haven't watched it in years lately. I mean, I see the reports, and I see what you said about how many, you know, 3-point shots and how many are made and different things like that. It's just unwatchable. He may have changed the game but not for the good.
Yeah, I felt for a long time Steph Curry changed the game for the good because it was fun to watch, but my buddy Mike, who's a longtime Warriors fan, he texted me the Mavs and the Warriors played the other day, and they set an NBA record with 48 made threes. Golden State had 27, the Mavs had 21. 48 made three-pointers in a game, for crying out loud.
Yeah, 81, and what was the other one? 63. 140-some points were made from threes.
Yeah.
But the thinking in the NBA is along the lines of, let's have this in-schedule tournament. What a joke.
That's a discussion for another day. I could the Bucks beat the OKC last night for that. I couldn't care less about that thing. That thing is so – the Lakers won it last year. They hung up a banner. Lakers stunk. You know, well, yeah. I don't care at all about that tournament.
That's ridiculous. All right.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. 946-0435. Welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Bob from Altoona.
What's up, Bob? How you doing, buddy?
Good. How you doing? Hey,
I'm great.
I don't know if you were in town when Mike Isolino was playing for the Mavericks. I believe he led the league that year in three-point percentage. And then next year they then moved it in. So I think that the solution is to move it back again.
If Izzy, again, I mentioned Joe Crispin earlier, if Izzy had played in the NBA today, and I know Mike a good bit covering him as a coach. I wasn't here when he was at St. Francis, but I've talked to him a bunch over the years. If he would have had the ability to shoot 10 or 12 threes a game when he was with the Mavs, he would have stuck around a long time because, I mean, but they just didn't have it back then. They didn't want their team shooting more than 12, 14 threes a game.
Right. But as far as watching the NBA, I really don't start watching it, and I do like watching it when the playoffs come. They play a lot more defense, obviously, then.
Yeah, they get into you then, but what we saw last year with the Celtics winning the title, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but they still took and made a whole bunch of threes, and that's what helped them win the title. I mean, it's here. It's not going anywhere.
No, I kind of enjoy it. So.
All right, thank you, Bob. Appreciate it. Now, Jerry, I give Jerry from Bellwood a lot of credit. He started calling in last year about the Minnesota Timberwolves. I remember who the heck they were playing, maybe in the Nuggets or whatever in the playoffs. And so that kind of got our NBA discussions going. And, Jerry, we had a bunch of good NBA discussions for a couple months last year. So I appreciate you calling. Can you watch this? Can you watch a team shoot 51 threes a game?
Depends what they're doing the rest of the game. I mean, the problem with the NBA during the regular season is most of the players are just playing casually.
Yes, correct.
You know? And they're just going up and down the court. You know, somebody shoots a three or, you know, maybe they drive, you know, if they feel like it. And then they go down, just kind of jog down to the other end of the court, you know. It makes it really hard to watch. You know, when the Celtics won, I mean, that's my team, so of course I enjoyed that. But you know, they still were playing hard, you know. There was a lot of running. They played great defense, you know. So, no, I did enjoy that, and even though they were hoisting up a bunch of threes. But that's the problem with the NBA. They're playing casually, and then the big guys, you know, standing outside shooting threes. You know, you talked about I forget what team you're talking about. It was not doing the pick and roll.
The Grizzlies.
Yeah, and they're doing screens. Well, you watch the NBA, even in college, they don't even come off screens correctly, you know. Remember, didn't you play organized basketball?
I did. I played in high school, and my boy's a big guy, so he has to screen a lot. He committed an illegal screen foul the other day, and I was so pissed because, like, a big part of what he does is set screens. So I was mad at him because he was running and moving to setting the screen.
Well, maybe he was just setting a screen like the – always moving, and they never rub shoulders.
Yep.
You know, that's how we were. That's how, and you know, and if they did, it'd be a lot more effective as a screen and roll if you came off the screens like you're supposed to. There's just so many things that colleges and the pros, and when it comes to basketball, just aren't doing the fundamentals. You know, it's because of their athletic ability. They're so used to being able to, you know, get by with just out jumping and out quickening everybody. You know, they don't box out very effectively. Most of the players, you know, I'm talking about, obviously there's some that do, but That's why it's frustrating to watch, you know, because if you're coaching a team, you know, a bunch of young guys, you are, and you say, watch the game, this is how you should do it. But you really can't say that because you don't want them playing like they play.
What happened was Steph Curry and Klay Thompson were phenomenal shooters, and the Warriors cashed in on them being phenomenal shooters, and that got the ball rolling. Then the Houston Rockets, with their GM Daryl Morey, who's now with the Sixers, he kind of took it from to the analytical standpoint, and they realized the math of what you've got to shoot if you make threes versus what you got to shoot if you make. And then it all becomes a science. We get tired of the analytics in baseball because baseball is such a statistics-driven sport, but that's what the NBA is. So basically, in a nutshell, and I don't have these numbers exactly, but basically, if you shoot about 34% from three, okay, this is kind of the way the NBA, if you shoot about 34% from three, you're better off doing that than trying to shoot really any twos that you shoot about 50% on. And so anything above 34% is gravy. So think about that. If all you've got to do is shoot 34% and you're better off, what if you shoot 37%? What if you shoot 39%? What if you shoot 44%? They're trying to find ways to steal points over the course of a game. And so, again, basically, and again, this is not – I don't have this 100% correct, but I was reading about this today and trying to find some numbers. But basically, if you shoot 34%, you're good to go. And if you shoot 44%, they figure that's how they're going to win games.
Yeah, Rick Pitino had a lot to do with the analytics of basketball and the basketball in the 3-point shot. I mean, he had a lot to do with that. But I just think that if you just watch the NBA, they don't run fast breaks correctly. This is college too.
No, they run to the 3-point line. No, nobody does. But, hell, they can be wide open. They stop and shoot a three.
Well, even you know. Which I would have no problem with it, you know. But you know, when you're running a fast break and it's 2-on-1, and if the guy doesn't pick you up the 3-point line, okay, then it's okay to shoot that. But that's not the way they just don't do hardly any of the fundamentals correctly. They're just such great athletes, and that used to be the big thing with the NBA, that you really could say that they probably had the best athletes overall. Now I think it's harder to hit a baseball than anything else, you know. But as far as athletes go.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with the NBA. Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
but
the greatest athletes.
What can you? You're an NBA fan. Right. Can you watch that? What would be the breaking point? Can you watch the Celtics shoot 51 threes a game? What if that number becomes 65? Is there going to be a breaking point?
Well, there probably will be. But as long as they're playing hard on both ends of the court, I'm okay with it. I mean, if they're going to shoot threes, are they attacking the boards, trying to get the rebounds that are bound to come? Because if you're shooting under 40%, you know, you're going to have a chance for a lot of offensive rebounds. That's what it comes down to for me. Are you playing team ball? Are you hitting the guy with the open three? You know, are you working the ball around? And really, the Celtics do that. And that's why I help them shooting the threes.
Good stuff, man. Appreciate the call. Good discussion, everybody. We'll take a break. We'll take some more of your calls after this.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Whether it's popcorn for a movie or chips and snacks for your party, great times and great snacks go hand in hand. Davison Snacks Outlet is your go-to place for snacks. Whether you want crispy, savory, or sweet, everything from small bags to bulk packages and gift baskets too. Davison Snacks has Martin's Chips and Snacks, jerky from Bronco Billy's and Rougarou, All-Star Cotton Candy, Little Debbie Snack Cakes, Boyer Candy, Dots Pretzels, Wise Snacks, and more. Life is better with snacks. From Davison Snacks Outlet, 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncansville.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn Mowers in Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288. Or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much.
Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast. Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast.
Stand by for a big announcement. The year is coming to an end. J&P Auto Mart is celebrating with a huge end-of-year blowout. The lowest prices of the year are happening now at J&P Auto Mart. Come in during December and save big on your new ride. J&P Auto Mart has one of the largest inventories of cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs in Central PA. They've been in business for over 60 years with big savings. It's the end-of-year blowout at J&P Auto Mart, Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
The holidays are here, a time when family surrounds the dinner table and warm memories are created. Mel and Chris at Kepner's Grandview Meats help you to create the perfect Christmas table, rib roast centerpiece, fillets, tenderloin roast, or how about a beautiful standing rib roast? Mel, Chris, and their family wish you and your family the warmest holiday season. Follow the old paths to Kepner's Grandview Meats.
I just want to thank everybody for playing along with my NBA discussion. We had 4 calls there. That was awesome. I just kind of wanted to get that off my chest and have a discussion about that. I've been looking for the right time here over the last couple weeks to discuss. Well, maybe last week or week and a half after I saw the teams missed 75 threes in a game last week. So, hey, we got 4 calls on it. I love it. I love it. I like knowing. Look, I'm going to come in here and I'm going to talk Penn State just about every day to some degree. I'm going to talk Steelers most days. I like knowing that if I branch out into something a little different, that we can have some fun and we can still get some callers and just have some good sports discussions. Is this a local show? We're going to talk local stuff. Obviously, we got Penn State SMU coming up in a few days. That's huge. We got Steelers Ravens. That's huge. But, hey, I like branching out and doing some stuff a little bit different. We discussed this a great deal on our Black and Gold Breakdown show yesterday. I have a question for you. Steelers Ravens. I'm going to switch to some football now. If you're a Steelers fan or not a Steelers fan, I have a question for you. This is a kind of disturbing question, maybe. It's certainly a cynical question and a depressing question. But I want you to think about it when I tell you that the Steelers play the Ravens this week, the Chiefs on Christmas Day, and then the Bengals to close the regular season. Now, the Steelers have already wrapped up a playoff berth. If they beat the Ravens this week, they'll win the AFC North. That will help their seeding, and they'll get, you'd think, maybe a more favorable game in the playoffs. If they don't win, then they're going to be a lower seed. They're going to have to go on the road, probably play a really tough game. Here's my disturbing and depressing question for you. Is it possible that the Steelers may not win another game this year? Geiger, what an a-hole, man. Why are you bringing this up? They're playing for the division title. Ah! Yeah. And if they play without George Pickens and without T.J. Watt, both of whom missed practice yesterday. I haven't seen if they practiced today. I'll see if I can find that. Do you think the Steelers are winning in Baltimore without Pickens and Watt? And if they don't win in Baltimore, now look, Patrick Mahomes isn't playing. And here's some good news. Watt and Pickens did practice some today. So that's good. But if they don't beat Baltimore, then you got the Chiefs and I'm right now, I'm picking the Steelers to beat the Chiefs. So even though I'm talking about kind of a depressing question, I'm just giving you the schedule the rest of the way. We saw the collapse after the Steelers started 11-0 five, 6 years ago. The way they looked against the Eagles, then they've got Baltimore, the Chiefs, and the Bengals. Is it possible in your mind that they might not win another game? Or is that just too depressing of a thought? 946-0435. Anybody want to weigh in on that? I hate to bring it up. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer. I don't think they're going to beat the Ravens. Kreider on a Black and Gold Breakdown show yesterday, he picked the Ravens like 31-13. He thinks they're going to drop the hammer on the Steelers. But if Pickens and Watt play, you know, now we're talking about two of the better players on the field. So that changes the dynamic a little bit. So anyway, with the way this schedule plays out, man, closing at Philly, then Baltimore, Kansas City, the Bengals, I don't know what the Bengals are going to have to play for at the end. They're 6-8. Could they still be hanging on to playoff hopes? Bengals schedule, here's who the Bengals have, because this is important. Bengals are 6-8. They've got home against Cleveland this week. They should win that. Home against Denver next week. If they win that, and that's going to be a tough game, if they win that, then they are 8-8 coming to Pittsburgh and a chance to go 9-8, and that maybe could get them in the playoffs. I don't know where they would be. It'd still be a lot of things would have to happen maybe for them to get into the playoffs at 9-8. But you see my point. The Bengals still could be playing for something. We talked about this a bunch last year, that going into the final regular season game against the Ravens, Steelers needed a win to get the playoffs. The Ravens didn't need that game. The Ravens didn't need that game. They weren't playing for anything. So Steelers wanted to help them. If the Steelers are playing the Bengals in the regular season finale, that game could mean a whole heck of a lot more to the Bengals than it could to the Steelers. If the Steelers, you know, if they lose to the Ravens, now you're still fighting for the division, so that could still come into play. But, man, that schedule. And man, I can't believe the NFL did this to the Steelers. This is absolutely preposterous. Maybe you didn't fully realize it, so I'm going to tell you, the Steelers are playing three NFL games in 11 days, man. Three games in 11 days. That is so asinine and so dangerous and preposterous that you think, how the hell can the NFL do this? Out of one side of their mouths, they're talking about safety and trying to make the game safer for everybody and this and that. And then you're going to have teams play three games in 11 days. Steelers played the Eagles on Sunday the 15th. Then this week, they will play at Baltimore on Saturday, so that's one day shorter. And then they play on Wednesday on Christmas, the 25th. So they're playing the 15th, the 21st, and the 25th. They're not only playing three games in 11 days. They're playing three of the best teams in the NFL in 11 days in the Eagles, the Ravens, and the Chiefs. Two of them are on the road. That's like the NFL giving the middle finger to the Steelers. So look, they've got a lot of wins earlier this year against weaker competition. They cashed in early in the season, playing some bad quarterbacks and got some breaks with some other, and Justin Fields goes 3-1 before turning it over to Russell Wilson. Now comes the gauntlet. Three games in 11 days, man. That's absolutely brutal. Again, it's hard to take the NFL seriously from a credibility standpoint when they talk about player safety, and then they've got a team like this playing three games in 11 days. And I mentioned this on our Black and Gold Breakdown show yesterday. The league just went to 17 games. I think what, it was last year, the first year? How long before it's 18 games? How long is it before it's 18 games? Because every week in the NFL is tens of millions of dollars. I joked, could we see 20 games someday? That sounds ludicrous. But if it means billions and billions more dollars, you got a league here that's got a team playing three games in 11 days. You think they give a damn about player safety? Come on, man. Welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Robert.
What's up, Robert? How you doing, buddy? What's going on?
Hey, I was going to talk about the Steelers. I think the Steelers can beat Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Even if maybe Pickens is out, I just think they need to go an all-out game plan. They win that game, I would rest my players the last two games, because those two games don't mean nothing. You won the division.
Yeah, and there is a possibility there. Why do you think they can beat the Ravens without Pickens? Because, again, look, Calvin Austin led them in receiving against the Eagles. He's not even a number two. I don't think they have even a number two wide receiver on this team. Pickens is a one. I think everybody else is a three. Calvin Austin, Van Jefferson. So if Pickens doesn't play, you don't have a number one receiver against the Ravens. You really don't even have a number two receiver against the Ravens. What would give you confidence they could beat the Ravens if Pickens can't play?
I just think that the two teams know each other so well. They're always low-scoring games, and it comes down to defense. I just think if you put together the right game plan, knowing, hey,
yeah,
I win this game, I rest my players the last two games, it don't mean nothing.
Yeah, you're not wrong. All these games are close. Steelers beat them 18-16 earlier.
If Pickens is like, say, hey, 20%, I would still start him in there. Whatever.
The Steelers have a way. And look, this is conference football. Same thing in college. Ohio State losing to Michigan a couple weeks ago. That's preposterous. Michigan's not any good. Well, what do they? They play each other every year. They know their personnel. They know each other's tendencies.
Right.
In conference in the NFL, Steelers and the Ravens, they know each other so well.
Yep.
Every game comes down to really the last minute or two. So I'm never surprised if the Steelers beat the Ravens. But to me, the Steelers without Pickens, man, that kind of led to my somewhat half-joking question earlier. Could they win another game? Like, if Pickens can't play, can they beat anybody that's left on their schedule?
Well, I mean, I think if you put the right game plan together, but again, we know how the Steelers are when it comes to game planning. It's like they stick to the same old crap.
Yep, every week, no matter who the opponent.
I had one other question for you. I meant to call in about this, about when Ohio State lost to Michigan. I thought about this. Do you think Ohio State lost to Michigan on purpose for some reason because they know they were in the playoffs anyway? We don't want to go to Oregon right off the bat. Maybe somebody will knock them off. Just a thought.
I like the question. I understand where you're coming from. I'm not really a conspiracy theory guy. So my answer would be unequivocally no. This is Ohio State, Michigan. They hate each other. Ryan Day would never do that. That's four consecutive losses for Ryan Day. If he loses to Tennessee, I think Ryan Day could be fired. So I understand the point of your question. And in fact, I think Penn State is so much better off that they lost to Oregon, because now they've got SMU and Boise instead of potentially Ohio State in the second round. So I get where you're coming from, but because it's Ohio State and Michigan, there's so much at stake just in that rivalry that I just can't see Ohio State doing that on purpose.
Yeah,
it's a fun topic.
Just a thought I had.
Yeah, it's a fun topic. I get it.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it, Robert. I got to take a break. We'll take another call after the break.
We continue our look at the top 16 playoff drivers of the 2024 NASCAR racing season. And coming in at number 9 is Alex Bowman, who racked up a win, 8 top 5s, 17 top 10s, 4 DNFs, a pole, and 67 laps led with a stage win.
Yeah, we had massively fast stops by the end of the year. That was really, really cool, and definitely, you know, helped us in a lot of situations. So it was cool. Gosh, honestly, I would say some of the playoff tracks that we're gonna have, you know, I think we were better at Loudon this year before we had a mechanical failure than we have been the last couple of years. But still, I guess Gateway, we had a mechanical failure too. But Phoenix, we need to be better at those, you know, flat 1 mile places. We're just not where we need to be as a company. So just trying to continue to improve at those places. Our mile and a half stuff has gotten really good. Our road course program's really good. Like, we've been good at a lot of things. Just need to keep growing, right? Like, you can't ever stay the same. You got to keep evolving.
Alex, if you remember, was eliminated from the playoffs after his car failed post-race inspection at Charlotte. Ironically, putting the eventual champion Joey Logano back into the playoffs after being eliminated himself. That's our look at the number 9 driver of the 2024 NASCAR racing season, Alex Bowman. Up next is number 8 on the final lap.
Not sure how much you know about Progressive Insurance. You may know us for insuring your home and auto. You may know a couple of our commercials. But what you may not know is that since 2013, Progressive has been honoring veterans with vehicle donations through the annual Keys to Progress Veteran Vehicle Giveaway Program, giving back to those who gave so much. Now, you probably didn't wake up today saying, "I really wish I knew more about Progressive Insurance," but this seemed like the type of thing people wouldn't mind hearing about. Find out more about how we're dedicated to our customers and communities at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Imagine a world where animals and humans coexist in harmony, where wild animals thrive, habitats are protected, and marginalized communities are empowered. At International Animal Rescue, this is our vision. Our holistic, community-led projects not only rescue animals, but also protect and replenish precious habitats, creating a better future for us all. But we can't do this without you. Show your support now and help keep the wild, wild. Visit internationalanimalrescue.org.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 3-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Hey,
there's nothing like a Boswell's pipe. We're going to go right back to the phone lines. One more call. Appreciate it. Welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Corey. Scott from Belfont.
Scott, I got about 90 seconds, buddy. What's on your mind, dude?
Yep. Well, that's all I'll take then. Hey, you were talking about the Steelers playing that many games in 4 days. They're not the only team.
Yeah, right.
I got the Chiefs, the Ravens, and the Texans, along with the Steelers, are all playing 4 games in that many days. That's just crazy.
It's ridiculous. Now, are any of them playing the Eagles, the Ravens, no. and the Chiefs. Did any of those other teams have the gauntlet like maybe the NFC's best team in the Eagles, maybe the AFC's best team in the Chiefs? Oh, and here in the middle of it, a road trip to Baltimore. Good luck with that.
Yeah, I didn't look up their schedules, but I highly doubt it. When I saw the Steelers' schedule with that, I said, well, hopefully they'll win at least one of those three, plus the Bengals at the end. That's going to be tough, too, so it's going to be a gauntlet for sure.
Yes or no, the NFL will go to an 18-game schedule within 10 years?
I'll go yeah, because they'll probably eliminate the preseason.
Uh-huh, yep.
So I'll say yeah.
Yep. That league cares about player safety, man.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it, man.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
At Shoe Fly, they think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into Shoe Fly, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. Shoe Fly believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of Shoe Fly's fit specialists, visit their website, shoeflystores.com. Your feet will thank you.
Oh no, my phone.
Hear that? It's the sound of a skater dropping her phone and smashing it on the ice. Yep, it's definitely broken. But at Verizon, we got you. That's right, now's your last chance to trade in any phone, any condition from one of our top brands and get a new Samsung Galaxy S24 Plus on Unlimited Ultimate and Watch 7 and Tab S9 FE 5G. That's up to $1,900 in value. So you'll save big on three great gifts, only at Verizon. Service plan required for watch and tablet. Up to $1,900 value based on phone, watch, and tablet. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
This year, American farmers will harvest 2.8 billion bushels of wheat and 15.1 billion bushels of corn. And to this day, American road workers have built 4.2 million miles of roads and counting. We're proud that John Deere machines rolling off the line here in the USA play a part in supporting Americans who work the land and build a better tomorrow. Nothing runs like a Deere. Learn more at johndeere.com/manufacturing.
Oh man, flew by today. Came in like 4 or 5 minutes late because of some bad traffic, but a lot of good calls on the NFL, on the NBA discussion that we had, and I didn't get any takers on whether or not you think there's a chance the Steelers may not win another game. But that's a depressing thought. That's a scary thought. And you hate to say it. It happened to the Eagles last year. It happened to the Steelers 5 or 6 years ago, whatever that was. You hate to think that you've got all this optimism and it just disappears quickly. Tomorrow in the Altoona Mirror, Neil Riddell and I have a good point counterpoint columns on whether or not it was good that Penn State lost to Oregon in the Big Ten championship game. Be sure to check those out in the Mirror. Those are always fun reads. Neil takes one side, I take another. But the question is, was it good or bad that Penn State lost to Oregon in the Big Ten championship game? Thanks to our sponsor, J.M. Boswell's. Have a good night, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.
Sports Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WKMC, Roaring Spring, Altoona.